Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today, we are going to be going over what will constitute success for this Green Bay Packers team in 2024. It's a topic I've been thinking about quite a bit as of late, so we'll run through that in just a moment. Before I get there, quick shout out to both Jordan Taylor and Nick Blum for becoming all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. If you haven't checked out the options yet for becoming a new member, now is a perfect time to do so. Going to be a ton of members-only content coming out with the training camp and new season right around the corner. You get members-only videos, you get members-only Q&As. This week's will be on Thursday, so make sure to check that out. And like I said, now is a perfect time to sign up, and Jordan and Nick really appreciate you guys doing so. So that brings us to our main topic. What will constitute success for this Packers team in 2024? And there are 10 things that I have sort of thought about and defined as a checklist, so to speak, of things that I would like to see Green Bay succeed at in 2024. I don't think that there's any one thing. We'll talk about that. I promise we will. But I think there's a variety of different things that you want to see from this team. I've talked about this a little bit as of late, but I want to spend a couple more seconds talking about it right now. The number one thing on my list is the continued development of the young core of this team. And I get you guys, this is a win now league. I wholeheartedly understand it. This is a league that is based upon trying to hoist Super Bowl trophies. It's about winning it all. It's about bringing a Lombardi back to Green Bay. And I get that we live in the here and the now. I understand that we here at Pack-A-Day, and specifically myself, do the best I possibly can to look at 2024, but also 2025, 2026, and beyond, to look ahead, to not get tunnel vision just on the here and the now, just on this upcoming season. But I understand how easy that is. And I'm not just saying as fans, like the whole league gets caught up in looking at the here and the now. You know, owners and GMs and everyone wants to win and be successful immediately. There are very few teams that have any sort of patience for any sort of long rebuild or any. It is a win now league, period, end of story. Now there are teams that are at the beginning stages of a process coming off a bad team or in a rebuild or whatever it might be, but even those are going to get a very short leash to try to show signs of progress. And if that doesn't happen, new regime is in, the old regime is out, and you make these whole scale changes pretty quick. So I understand that everything is about right now, this upcoming 2024 season. But I also know that this team, as we talked about the other day, about this Packers championship window being wide open, it's not just about this upcoming season. And Green Bay should do everything in their power. I'm not saying by any means to punt on 2024. They should be doing everything they can to try to win it this year. They have the talent. They have the coaching. They have the QB. Goody knows how to find players on a whim if he needs to. He's shown the propensity to do that on multiple occasions. They have what they need. They have the ingredients. And they have resources at the trade deadline or maybe still this offseason to go get more if they so desire. So winning is definitely still an option. But as I look at this, I can't help but avoid the thought that if you continue to pump the resources and the time into all of the young talent that is on this team and making them the best players that they can possibly be. And what I want to define that really quick, because I think everyone might be thinking, well, yes, of course, we want to continue to get these players better, but we also want to win week in and week out. We can do both. We can multitask. What I mean by this is there's a finite amount of time, certainly in season, but even in training camp, this is not your grandfather's training camp with two-a-days and everything else. There's a finite amount of practices. There's a finite amount of time that you can spend with these players. And you have to ultimately decide what is most important. Do you want to put a bunch of time into fundamentals and individual work and trying to make these players better at specific skill sets? Or do you want to spend more time putting in the game plan for this upcoming week to put yourself in the best position to possibly win an upcoming game that you want to get a win in the win column? There's only so many losses that you can survive in a course of a season before your playoff life is over. Or before you all of a sudden have to go on the road to San Francisco and to Philadelphia and to whatever other hard team we want to put in that category this upcoming season. And that playoff route is going to be insanely tough. So you have to win. But I still think that the core of the, I don't want to say the core goal, because of course it's still winning, but I still think you need to put a solid chunk of time aside to continue with the growth and development of the young players on this team. And if that means that you're a little less prepared for some of these games because you have to spend more time on fundamentals and more time on individual work and more time on technique and technical skills, I'm okay with that. And I think this team is good enough, quite frankly, where, yeah, you know what? Maybe because they go about it that way, they go 10-7 instead of 11-5 or 11-6, or maybe 10-7 instead of 12-5. Maybe that ends up happening, but I think they're good enough where you can still focus on consistently getting better while still winning games in the interim. And it's going to make you better, hopefully not only in the long run, but as the season goes along and as you want to be playing your best football towards the end of the year. And I get these are things that coaches have to weigh out. And Mike Wall and I have talked about this in the past of how so many coaches are so focused on the whiteboard and the X's and O's and trying to out-scheme their opponent for the upcoming week. And I get it. I understand it. These coaches do not have any sort of leash or leeway. And as soon as any sort of losses start piling up, what does everyone start doing? Fire that guy. Get him out of here. He can't win games. He can't win the big one. We get so hyperbolic about everything through the course of a season. Everyone's at fault. Everyone sucks. Everyone's awful. Everyone needs to get cut or fired or waived or traded. I guarantee you, there will be very few players and or coaches that will survive this season without somebody calling for their name on Twitter, social media, on a radio call-in show, whatever it might be, or in the comments section here on Packaday, whatever it might be, there will be pretty much everyone gets called for to be cut, traded, whatever, fired through the course of this season. Because losses will happen, people will be upset. So I understand it. I really do. I get it. But I want to see the development of this young team continue. That to me is more important than almost anything else. Because if you stagnate with the players that you currently have, you have a good team. I don't think there's any question about that. Like this team, it will be hard. Unless there's a Jordan Love injury, it will be hard for this team to go like 4-13. Like you'd almost have to try to go 4-13 with the talent on this team. Something would have to have gone catastrophically wrong. You more likely from an injury standpoint than anything else for something like that to happen. There's just too much talent. But if you stagnate, you get in that no man's land. You get in that 8-9, 9-8, 7-10, where you're just in the middle. You can't get over the hump. You can't win the big one. And you're never, you know, picking at the top of the draft either to maybe get a franchise altering player that maybe could get you over the top. It's where nobody wants to be. And that would be, you know, a little bit of my concern again, if they stagnate, if they don't take that next step. So I talked about this with Sam Monson the other day, where I said, sometimes winning comes at a cost of development. And I've seen it even in youth sports where you start to win and all of a sudden some of the principles and core things that you were trying to teach your team can go out the window because now all of a sudden you get into a game and all the things that you taught through the course of the week are out and you're just trying to find a way to get a result in that game. They aren't always perfect partners, meaning winning and development. So to me, number one on my list and a checklist for success for this upcoming season is the continued development of the young core of this team. And I think that will be easily gaugeable. And the way that you can test it is we have a baseline for not the rookies. We don't know the rookies yet, but all these second and third year players that are super young and talented that we know about, even guys like Jordan Love, right? We have a baseline for how good these players are already. We know what Carl Brooks can do, Dontavian Wicks. We know what Christian Watson is capable of, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Carrington Valentine. We can go on and on. They've set a standard for themselves already. So at the end of this year, how many of those players are worse than where they were a season ago? How many are the same as where they were a season ago? And how many are legitimately better than they were a season ago? I need to see a large net positive with all the young, super talented players on this team. I need to see Jaden Reed better, Luke Musgrave better, Tucker Kraft better, Dontavian Wicks better. I want to see all these guys, and it doesn't have to be monumental. It doesn't have to be that Colby Wooden is now playing at an all-pro level. I'll take it. I will happily have Colby Wooden play at an all-pro level. We don't need to see necessarily something like that, but can they each just be incrementally better? And you'll be shocked at how much that makes the team ridiculously better. So that's what I'm looking for. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. The Euros have been absolutely phenomenal. And Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action. And whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers. And also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get into the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff, and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family, is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes, and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number two goes a little bit hand in hand with number one, but that is progress for Jordan Love. Same thing here, and even maybe more so. I don't need to see a leap from Jordan Love. I'll take a leap from Jordan Love, but I don't need to see that. I just want to see a small amount of progress, and I'm even cool with that. It doesn't even need to be better than that. If he is slightly better than what he was at the end of last season, we're golden. We don't need to almost talk about anything else from a developmental standpoint for Jordan Love. If he's just a little bit better, and it can be something small. It can be that his completion percentage went up 1 point. It could be that he threw one less interception. It could be that he threw 3 more touchdowns. It doesn't, again, have to be monumental here, but we certainly do not want to see Jordan regress. We don't want to see, and somebody brought this up in the comments the other day of like people talking about Jordan Love being bad in his first eight games. Let's be clear. Jordan was not bad in his first eight games. He was a starting quarterback, right? Maybe not, certainly not top of the league or anything like that, but he was a mid-tier starting quarterback. And then things got much better. And we'll talk about that in an upcoming episode because I'm going through my deep dive of Jordan Love right now. But it wasn't we weren't talking about like, oh my goodness, this guy sucks. Like that's not the conversation that was taking place. It was, you know, he's a starting quarterback. Now how good can he be? And then he answered that. He said, I can be really freaking good. But I want to see that continue. Again, if he regresses to where he was at the beginning of last year, that'd be probably a pretty big disappointment. If he stayed the same at the end of last year, that in and of itself is something because that shows consistency. And, you know, we don't need a ton more from what he showed in the last 8-9 weeks of last season. If he can continue that, that will be a huge step. Like, cause that's the big thing for Jordan now is like, you showed it for that period of time. Now, can you do it consistently? So even that in and of itself will be important, but I want to see one step above that. Like I said, nothing crazy, just a small step above where he was at the end of last year. And that would be a massive, massive success for this 2024 Packers team. Number three, a legitimate defense. And more specifically here, I want to see this defense sort of learn the lessons from the offense in 2023. And what I mean by that is rethink of the offense in 2023. That was a offense, and we kind of talked about it, where it was a little disjointed at the beginning. We didn't know what Jordan was going to be. There were all these young weapons. This offense had to basically reinvent itself. They went from an offense with Aaron Rodgers and before that, Devontae Adams, and they had a lot of things that they specifically liked to do. And then you now take over with Love as your starter, Wicks and Reed and Malik Heath and Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft and Ben Sims and Emmanuel Wilson, and all these guys are brand new players on the team just last year. And then, of course, Jordan taking over at quarterback. That is a ton of change in one season. It was always going to take a hot second for that group to gel together and develop together and figure out a rhythm. And that's exactly what we saw. And I talked about it a million times. I think their goal at the beginning of last year was really to count on the running game with David Bakhtiari at left tackle, Aaron Jones at running back. And then after we saw it work in week one to a great success against the Bears in Chicago. And then what immediately happened after that, Bakhtiari goes out week one, Aaron Jones goes out after that week one performance as well. And they didn't have that running game to lean on. And now all of these young players had to step up right away. My point here is that it took them time to reinvent that offense. And they were disjointed at the beginning of the season, but they were playing their best football by the end of the season. I'm cool with that level of patience with this defense this year. I don't necessarily need to see it be a perfect defense that's going to be the end result right away. I can have patience, but I want to see them have a similar trajectory to what the 2023 offense did with the 2024 defense. There can be some hiccups. There can be ways that you have to figure out how you utilize these new safeties, how you utilize Edgerrin Cooper and maybe Tyron Hopper, like how you fit these players in a new 4-3 defense. I expect there to be some hiccups along the way, some bumps in the road. That's natural. That is going to happen. But I want to see it progress through the course of the year. And just like the 2023 offense, I want to see the 2024 defense playing its best football at the end of the year. And by the end of 2023, they were winning games because of their offense. That's what I want to see in 2024, is a defense that by the end of the year, you can win games because of. You know, you go back to the 49ers game, right? Jordan and the offense didn't have their best game. You had the Zach Tom stuff going on. You had some unfortunate plays. Anders Carlson misses a field goal. But you have a lead in the fourth quarter. And the defense couldn't hold it like they struggled to do all season long get in that same situation. And they allow a touchdown. 49ers take the lead. And then now the pressure is back on the offense. If Jordan and the offense has an uncharacteristically bad day, you have to have a defense that can pick you up and say, we can win this game for you. It's not always going to be perfect. Go back to the Super Bowl run in 2010. the Bears game in the regular season finale that they needed to get in, and then the Bears game in the NFC Championship game, the offense sucked both of those games. And specifically in that NFC Championship game, they needed that BJ Raji pick six. They needed their defense to be massive in that game, and it was, because the offense did not play well. There took some of that through the, you know, the course of that playoff run. The defense came up huge on multiple occasions. Now, obviously, game-sealing interception against the Eagles, huge pick six before half against the Falcons, and then, of course, just kind of shutting down the Bears' offense in the NFC Championship game and getting a pick six in that game as well. So you need your defense to pick you up. It's not, it is so difficult to just be like, yep, our offense will be able to just run through everyone in the playoffs. That's not going to happen. And it doesn't, again, have to be where the defense is, you know, just solely winning all the games. It has to be complementary. But in those games where maybe your offense is a tick off, your defense needs to be two ticks better. And that's what I want to see from this defense. Not only a legitimate defense, but a defense that gets better as the year goes along. And we see it peaking at exactly the right time. Again, just like the 2023 offense. Number four, some of you are going to laugh hearing me say this again, just a mediocre bleeping special teams. I've said it a million freaking times. Don't need first, don't need eighth, don't need 10th, don't need 12th, just the 16th best special teams. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for anything unreasonable. I'm not asking that they all of a sudden, you know, just develop into the world's greatest special teams that's doing, you know, blocking kicks, blocking punts, you kick returns for touchdowns left there. We're okay. We can see this Packers team survive with a mediocre special teams. It just can't be abysmally bad. And it wasn't abysmally bad this past season, but it hasn't been good enough in the Rich Bisaccia era. And when you're paying Rich Bisaccia to be one of the best special teams coordinators and one of the highest paid special teams coordinators in the league, and when you specifically are bringing in players that are core special teams guys, you're expecting a better performance from that group on the field. And in year one, as I've said before too, I was willing to give Rich a runway here, because that this has been a systemic issue in Green Bay. The special teams has been brutal for decades. So to expect one guy to come in and just be like, yep, everything's fixed, that is a tough ask. It was not going to be something that happened overnight. But I did expect by year two, we saw more significant growth, and we really didn't see that. So this is the year to me for Rich Bisaccia. It needs to be better. And that has to be part of the success plan for the Packers this upcoming season, is to see a special teams that maybe it's not winning you games, but it's certainly not losing you games. And you go back to the 49ers game again, huge missed field goal in that game, changes everything. So the special teams needs to be better. I'm just asking for consistency, and even mediocrity I will take at this point. Number five goes hand in hand. Find a kicker by any means necessary. And this is difficult, because sometimes with kickers, you need patience. And we saw that with Mason Crosby. It wasn't always perfect. They stayed patient, and it paid off for them far more often than not. But my goodness, if they don't have a kicker in some key moments, it will cost them games. And one of the things that the Packers have really struggled with is sometimes learning their lessons. In the season where they lost to the 49ers because of a special teams, a blocked punt, and just brutal special teams throughout the course of that game, that was building the entire year. Everyone saw it coming. Everyone could see that the special teams was complete and utter crap. And then in the biggest game of the year, divisional round, in a all-in season, the last dance season with Adams and Rodgers playing together for the last time, what happens? The special teams completely blows it. Now, the offense had certainly their nightmares in that game as well, but the special teams probably lost them that game with that blocked punt. I don't think there's much question about that. And it came to bite you at the worst time. Last year, we saw all season the inconsistency from the kicking game. And now it's tough to replace that midseason. That's a tough ask to just find a kicker. But what happened in the biggest game of the year against the 49ers again? A missed field goal. It hurts you at the worst possible time. They have to find a kicker by any means necessary. And they seem to be doing so. They seem to be trying anything they can to find that long-term kicker, at least a kicker that they can have some sort of level of faith and trust in as they go into the season. Whether that happens or not, that remains to be seen. It doesn't look like it's going to be for lack of trying. They've already had four kickers in now this offseason. One's gone. They have three on the roster right now. And please, 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 one of these guys step up. Like I said, I think we want this to be Anders Carlson. He is the most talent of the kicking group, but whoever it is, and if you have to continue to search through the course of the season, then by all means, continue to search through the course of the season. By any means necessary, find your kicker. Number six, they need to find their best five on the offensive line and figure out what is the best sort of, just left tackle to right tackle. What's the best overall lineup for that group? It's one thing to say we're going to get our best five guys out there. That's great. But one of the unique things about this Packers offensive line is that there's so many different guys that can play so many different spots. And sometimes, you know, the amount of options that they actually have are exponential almost, where it can be tough to settle in on one offensive line that you think is going to be best and then have them sort of try to gel together. And I think that's going to be the thing that they have to figure out is who is your best. It's not just your best five, but the best five in the right order. Because you know what? Maybe Zach Tom and Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan are all best five, but maybe all three are just best at tackle, which means you got to make a decision. And maybe one of those guys, we all think maybe Zach Tom can be great inside, but maybe he's just a really great tackle and he doesn't really quite fit the other spots. We don't know. I think we know because we've seen him there a little bit and he was good, but he's been so freaking good at right tackle. I think this is going to be a challenge for this team to figure out by week one is exactly who their best five are and in what order do you want to play them in. And we went through all the options the other day, at least the main ones. But sometimes these are things that you have to learn from trying it out. And sometimes it's not going to work exactly how you thought. And they're going to have to find the balance of how many times do they want to switch things around, or do they want to give a specific line time to develop and gel together and get better through the course of time? It's going to be an interesting question for them to answer, but it's going to be super important to this team's success long-term that they figure out who those five are, get them in the right order, and get them playing together and comfortable with one another. I've talked to offensive linemen in the locker room in the past, specifically Brian Bulaga, who did say hey, when there's people moving, there's different, I think this is when they were switching Lane Taylor and Elton Jenkins when he first came into the league. And he talked about that can be a little bit more of a challenge when there's guys flipping and flopping right next to you. You would rather have a little bit more consistency there. So they're going to have to find that in some way. Number seven, continue to evaluate the soft tissue injuries and the injuries that this team has been having. Hopefully they've solved it to some extent, but when you hire a brand new strength and conditioning staff and you're doing all this extra work to figure out what's going on with Christian Watson and Eric Stokes, you want to make sure that you're evaluating that to make sure it gets better. We've already seen some interesting, fluky, hopefully, pec injuries. You don't want to see that become a trend. So it's going to be important that now that they've hired new people to take over this process, that you evaluate it and see, is it better? Is it the same? Is it worse? And then what do we need to do to adjust anything based on those findings? Not the sexiest topic in the world, but I think it's an important one because you don't want to be the team that's consistently getting those soft tissue injuries. Injuries are they're more than a nuisance. It will poison your season. It will absolutely poison your season if you have all these guys that are out with injuries. It is so hard to overcome them. You need your best guys out on the field to have a chance to win every Sunday. And if you are missing guys due to some of that stuff, it makes it so impossible to be consistent with your level of play. So you want to continue to evaluate that as the course of the season goes on. Number eight, beat the freaking 49ers. This has been your kryptonite. It was like the Cowboys in the, against the Packers in the 90s with Favre. They could never get past the Cowboys. And, there's obviously been other teams through the course of the years that Green Bay specifically struggled with, but the 49ers have given Green Bay absolute fits. And certainly in the Matt LaFleur era, losing to them in the playoffs now three separate times. You got to find a way. You got to find a solution. You'll have an opportunity in the regular season this year. That's great to, maybe try something new and different, but there's a good chance that they see the 49ers in the playoffs again this year. And they have been the Packers' kryptonite. So you got to figure out a better plan. You got to figure out a way to beat that team. You've had opportunities. Certainly this past year was probably the best of those. And the divisional round game too, where the block punt came into play. You've had home games. You've had away games. You've had those games have been right there for you. And you didn't take advantage of them. So that has been the team that they have not been able to get over the hump against, and it is now going to be paramount that A, they do so in the regular season, but B, certainly if they see them in the playoffs again. Number nine, can they win the division? I think this is another one. This obviously gets you a ticket to the playoffs, but that's sort of step one. If we want to talk about the Packers being kings of the NFC and going to a Super Bowl and then winning a Super Bowl, well, let's start simple. Let's start with winning your division first. It's going to be a tough division. The Lions are going to be right up there as one of the top teams in the league, you would think, barring crazy injuries. The Bears, I think, are very much going to be in the playoff discussion, and Minnesota's a tougher team to tell what they're going to be. We'll see what Sam Darnold and the rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, excuse me. We'll see what they can bring to the table. But either way, there's a lot of talent on that Vikings team still. So those three teams are going to be tough. Go out and win the division. Show that you're the best team. Show that you can win the North. We're not talking about hanging banners for NFC North championships, but you win your division, you're going to get a home game. You're going to get your ticket to the playoffs, and it's going to set you up better for the postseason. And last but not least, number 10, yes, all these things that we mentioned today are good, great, grand, wonderful. Win the whole damn thing. That's your job. That's your freaking job. So yes, I know I'm talking out of both ends of my mouth with number one being development and number two, winning the whole damn thing. But guess what? This is a talented enough team to do so. It really is. And in Green Bay, this is title town. That's the freaking goal. It's to win championships. It's to win Super Bowls. And Brian Gutekunst, to his credit, he has not hid from that. Even when it looks like it's been a quote unquote rebuilding year last year, he said flat out, the job here is to win Super Bowls, is to win championships. This is Lombardi. This is title town. You want another banner. You want legacy. Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, Brian Gutekunst, you know, everyone, they want that Super Bowl ring. So all the things we talked about today are going to be measurements for success. There's only one measurement for success in the NFL, and that's winning a championship, winning a Super Bowl trophy, winning a Super Bowl ring, all of it, the glory. That's the G that I want. I want the glory. I want that Lombardi trophy back in Green Bay, and I want to see this team accomplish what I think they have every right to go and accomplish. I'm not trying to oversell this. I think we have a habit sometimes of lifting a team so much up in the offseason just so we can get upset and tear them down through the course of a season. And I'm not saying on purpose, obviously, but we all get so excited. We all get so anticipatory for a season that we put literally the season that hasn't even begun yet up on a pedestal of where it should be. This is going to be a tough task. I'm not saying that Green Bay's the favorites. I'm not saying that they have, you know, whatever odds to go and win it. I think they're probably what, like 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere. I think they're somewhere around 10th. For the most likely Super Bowl teams right now from an odds standpoint. Screw the odds. But I do legitimately believe that this is a talented enough team to make noise at the end of the playoffs and maybe in the Super Bowl. So that's your goal. That's your goal. All the other things will be things that we can checklist off through the course of the season and say, did they do it? Did they not do it? And all the first nine things that we talked about are going to be paramount to number 10. If they don't do the things one through nine, number 10 is not going to happen. If they don't continue to develop, if Jordan Love takes a step back, if the defense is not legit, if they can't have at least a mediocre special teams, if their kicker sucks, if they can't figure out their offensive line, if they continue to have soft tissue injuries, which leaves their players not available, if they can't beat the 49ers and they can't win the division, they're going to be much less likely to actually win a Super Bowl. But that's the ultimate goal. But I think the checklist that we went through is going to set you up to have that chance to go out and win the whole damn thing. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Poletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Ataka. See you guys tomorrow. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.